Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
And I'm here loving the introduction.
All right. Okay. So here is another question that was submitted by a Plus member. And hey, here's the thing. If you're not a Plus member, that's fine.
We don't shame you publicly, call you by name. Anyway.
No, especially within the context of our podcast, we like answering everyone's questions. So if you have a question on church planting, multi-site, multiplication, discipleship, leadership, you know, anything related to pastoral ministry, but especially toward multiplying your church, submit it in newchurches.com. If you're on your computer, just go to the sidebar on the right, hit send a voicemail, or if you're on your phone, just go to speakpipe.com/newchurches and you can send that in.
And I got to say, that is pretty cool that people can do that. Because when I was a kid, we had to use tin cans and strings. So this is pretty, SpeakPipe is a whole different thing.
That's awesome. All right. So here is the question. I'll read it for us. And it's from one of our Plus members. My name is Bart, and I am planting a church in Sarasota, Florida. We are currently renting the building that we meet in every Sunday morning. I hear of churches that are shrinking in size and may not make it much longer, allowing growing and possibly newer churches to use their building and possibly even take it over. So here's my question. Is there a way to lovingly pursue an option like this? I know of a couple churches in the area that can seat over 100 and yet have less than 30 in attendance each week. Or would it be better just to keep doing what we're doing and not pursue using another church's building? Thanks. I love the podcast.
Wow. So that's a super question. The question is, you know, some of these mergers that happen where there's an established church, mm-hmm. church plant's not, you know, blowing or going, but then it merges in with an established church. Some of them really have great stories. And there's awesome stuff, but you don't hear about the ones that don't make it. So a lot of times it doesn't work. But part of the challenge is that he is, in the position of asking, which changes the dynamic. So what typically happens, so, you know, we actually have a church here that there was a church planter, an Alliance church. And an established Alliance church merged with a multicultural, predominantly Korean church. And the pastor is Korean, and it's gone real well. I mean, it wasn't without challenges, it was gone real well. But the kind of the established church in this case initiated the conversation. So, because I've been on the other side of that. So I had a, nothing, people can Google it if they're so inclined. When I was in Buffalo, New York, I had this church, I approached the church. It's called Prospect Avenue Baptist Church. Now it's it's like a halfway home for, I think it's HIV AIDS, ministry, government agency, but it's this beautiful church in downtown Buffalo. And so I approached this church cause it had, I mean, D.L. Moody preached in this building, 1,000 seats, acoustically perfect dome. So I approached them, and because I approached them, they set the, okay, well, if we're going to do this, you got to follow the Constitution. What's in the Constitution? Well, the pastor's got to wear a suit with tails. It was literally, someone told me that, like with tails, like a tux has tails.
Seriously? In the Constitution?
No, these words were spoken to me that they told me. I didn't actually see it in the Constitution. We said, well, that's kind of what the Constitution says. We never got to that stage. But so I had no, I mean, I preached there even, but because I was looking for it, there was like this distrust of me. Of course, you know, I was like 23. Mm. So what I would say is there may be a place here, but you got to think a little more like junior high and a little less like adulthood. You probably need somebody to reach out to the church and say, you know, do you like me? Yes, no, no, but more of
that's a great analogy.
Yeah, exactly. But somebody, well, that's kind of the way it is. You know, it's like, look, you know, you're Alliance, so I don't know how it works in your world. But in my low church tradition, I mean, you can't send your resume to a church. You got to get your friend to send a resume to the church because it's like junior high. And so I would think that that's not dissimilar. So let's say it's a denominational church and, you know, church planter X goes to talk to regional leader Y and says, hey, would you talk to the church about this? And then the potential conversation can begin.
Yeah. See, that's fascinating. I mean, I'm even thinking of the context here in Edmonton, and within the Christian and Missionary Alliance, the denomination owns the buildings.
Oh, okay.
So it's even from the perspective of, okay, if the denomination owns the buildings, there have been, and I've heard of several situations where the denomination will go to regional or area churches in that area if they're shutting down a church and be like, oh, do you want to take this over? Do you want to take it over? So there's obviously that perspective, but then there's also the perspective of, I mean, I even know here in Edmonton, my church, Beulah Alliance, I mean, we have three campuses and I'm working with our next campus pastor to launch our new campus next year. So we're looking at areas, we're looking at buildings, and our denomination hasn't come to us and said, hey, we have a building for you.
Right.
So we're searching, you know, high and low for places to meet. But there's also that question of, okay, but what about those churches that are dying? And what I'm hearing from you is that for the planter to actually go, the pastor actually go and pursue that, that's a little bit of a no-no.
It feels that way. I mean, again, there might be some ways that are different, but it kind of feels like it's supposed, someone, the sponsor church is supposed to ask out the new church plant, not the church plant asking out the sponsor church.
Yeah. Okay.
And partly, you know, so, but even mentioned the denominational leader. So I remember I was talking to a district leader in my denomination, Silver Estate. And I said to him, hey, listen, you know, they've got this mega church that I want to encourage to bring into the denomination. And he was kind of suspicious. He says, well, they just joined the denomination so we can find them small churches to take over. So there's the multi-site thing has sort of created a little suspicion in people's mind towards that as well. So here's the deal. So pretty much anyone you talk to nowadays in church life is aware of someone somewhere that has been taken over by a church or a multi-site church. So there's a real sense of suspicion, I think is a good way to put it. There's a sense of suspicion towards that, and you just gotta have to live with that. And so part of it is building a relationship over time, being honest to what you can and can't do. I mean, honesty helps those relationships last. Because so for me, whenever I was part of one of these mergers, and we work with, Better Together, Warren Bird and Tomberlin wrote that. And then Tomberlin has its multi-site solutions. So we work with one of their people. And this was not a church plant, you know, where they have a pastor ready to go and all that sort of stuff. But it went well because their consultant helped us to kind of think through all the things. For example, the large church was not congregational. The small church was. The large church was more reformed. The smaller church was less reformed. I mean, none of them were like super reformed. But to actually go through and consider all these things, these are things, and I think they're in Better Together, the book Tomberlin and Bird wrote. These are things that you have to think through before you can even get to the place of a merger. So let's say you show up and he's got this church and he didn't told us, you know, well, what if this church is Pentecostal? People are being baptized in the Holy Spirit, initial physical evidence. And you come in and say, yeah, you know, I'm kind of Wesleyan. We don't do that. I mean, you're starting off at the wrong spot. So how do you build from there?
No, that's a good word. Hey, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor and we'll get right back into it. Considering the seismic cultural shifts all around us, we must ask what lies ahead for Christians around the world. No one has done more to startle the church from its slumber than Len Sweet, and no one has equipped the church as effectively. Rings of Fire is a benchmark book from a seminal leader of the modern evangelical movement. In this book, Len outlines over 25 rings of fire facing the church and how we can walk in faith through this volcanic future. You can get your copy of Rings of Fire at navpress.com. Now back to the podcast.
So we know, you know, those just listening to the sponsors is his new book, Len Sweet's new book. Let me tell you a fun fact about Leonard Sweet. So 2000 and I don't even know, maybe six. I don't remember. I'm writing this book, Planting, it was originally called Planting New Churches in a Postmodern Age. You're a little bit familiar with it, Daniel, since you redid the what they call the second edition. Yeah. It's really the third edition. So the first edition, which is called Planting New Churches in a Postmodern Age, the reason they call Planting Missional Churches the one you and I did, the second edition is that they renamed it, but it's this, basically it was the same book. So it's now in its third iteration. But the first iteration, the foreword was, I was just this church planner, and I reached out to this guy who I can't imagine him ever responding to me. And I said, Dr. Sweet, would you consider writing the foreword to my book? This is why when people email me, I'm not like a jerk to them about, or not that I'm a big deal like Len Sweet. But when I emailed him, he said, I would love to read this. He read it. He writes this incredible foreword that I just loved. And so here's the thing, you know, most people told me, oh, I bought the book because I saw Leonard Sweet's name on the cover. And I was like, I'm good with that. And that's my very first book was with Leonard Sweet.
That's incredible. You know, I think I remember that. Yeah, that's right. Because that was around the time when Leonard Sweet was just, I mean, he's still prolific, but he was just pumping books out left, right, and center.
Oh, yeah. And that was Soul Tsunami. I mean,
Soul Tsunami.
So Sweet, you know, is in the middle of the emergent church. And he's, you know, he's this Wesleyan, Arminian, Methodist voice in the midst of a lot of people just, you know, jumping off theological orthodoxy. And he just kind of stays the course as this evangelical Methodist. He says some things that rile up, and I think I would disagree with some, but you'd expect that. But very just kind to this young church planter who wrote this book so many years ago. I'm going to look it up actually and throw out the year, because you can still find Planting New Churches in a Postmodern Age. People still buy it.
Yeah, that's right. It's a blue.
We're like in the third edition. So the first one was published 2003. So what is that? I can't do the math. 16 years ago. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. Here's what he says. Here's what he says, right? Len Sweet talks about Planting New Churches in Postmodern Age as that one-stop, one-shop wonder that makes obsolete all the alternatives. Wow. I was like done at that point. Thank you, Leonard Sweet. I appreciate you.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey,
sorry.
Okay. So back to
question. You can edit all that
the question though. No. This is awesome. So, okay. Now, being here in Edmonton, and the vision that my church here has is to reach 1% of Edmonton for Christ.
Yeah.
So as the city, I mean, it's crazy. And I just, all the vital statistics just came out, and Edmonton grew by about 200,000 people in the last 10 years.
Wow.
The average age is 35. It's the youngest city in Canada.
Are they aware of the winter? Have they not? Do they stay? I mean, you have to plug in your car to start it in the wintertime. Yeah. Do they know that?
Well, all cars come with block heaters here.
Yeah, your block heaters are literally you drive up and plug your car in so that when you come out from the grocery store, their block
only,
is not frozen.
Yeah, only when it's like minus 30. So you don't have to.
Yeah, so pretty much from January to March.
No. All right. So, but you know what? Edmonton is the youngest city in Canada. Average age is 35. And it's crazy. All the stats that came out about this, right? So this is the vision of our church is to reach 1% of Edmonton. And as I've been connecting with other churches around the city and other pastors around the city, my heart, and this is advice I got from Danae Pierre, who is, she leads the Surge Network out in Phoenix, out in Arizona. So we were talking about collaboration, and we could put a link in the show notes for the interview that I did with her. But when we were talking through that, she basically said something that just floored me. She was like, hey, a lot of times when you meet other people in the same city, other planters or pastors who have the same vision as you, you get competitive. The tendency is to be competitive and to be like, oh, did they steal it from me? Or you know, that's mine, or I'm supposed to do that. And she's like, what if maybe you have the same vision because the Holy Spirit gave it to both of you.
Oh, wow.
Like, because Jesus is wanting to do the same thing. And there's one Holy Spirit, right? And he is actually saying the same thing to the two of you. So rather than being competitive, why not be collaborative?
You know, so shit, that's pretty Christ-like response there. I'm really not used to you being that like spiritually minded. I like this part of you. I do.
Oh, man. Hey, it goes both ways, Ed.
Yeah. Touche.
All right. So all that to say, when I heard Danae say that, I was like, okay, how do you get to that point? Well, it's not by strategically trying to meet with these churches that are shutting down to try to mine for information and you know, kind of like a leech, get what you can from them. No, it's starting before that. Yeah. And it's beginning relationships with other pastors in your city, not because you want to take their building, but because you want to pray together, because you want to reach the city together. And that would be my advice to you, Bart, and to everyone else who's pastoring wherever you're at. Intentionally build these relationships with the other pastors around you in the city. They're not your enemies, right? But you're on the same team. So build together, work together, pray together. And who knows what God's going to do in the future, right? Especially when it comes to buildings and all that.
Yeah. You know, I agree. So I actually was, I just got an email like 2 weeks ago, a text a couple weeks ago from a guy. We were planting a church in Pennsylvania. We had a facility. He didn't. He was a a Pentecostal, a charismatic, I think they'd say. They were a charismatic church. And so we were like, saw them as competitors in my mind. And I'm like, why am I thinking this way? So we actually invited them to use our space on Sunday nights. And so they actually met in our facility. It might have been as long as a year. Did the same thing for a vineyard church that was planted. So it was almost like crucifying the flesh by getting on their team and feeling that team as well. So it's really important. And that friendship has the vineyard pastor actually didn't, the church didn't make it. And I haven't heard from the vineyard pastor in forever, but I just heard from the pastor of that other church probably a month ago. And we just have a friendship that's lasted for decades.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. So hopefully that helps. And thanks again for listening in. If you have any questions, be sure to submit that in and we will catch you next time.